Welcome to Two's Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Gentlemen.
Hi. Am I in the right place?
I don't know. Honestly.
Hi, my name is Keith.
Hi, Keith.
My name is Dean.
Yeah. Like, this is nuts, fellas. We just made a list of all the stuff that has gone on since July 6th, right?
Right.
We decided. Mm-hmm. July 6th was the last time we did a cast. And I'm going through the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fairly significant things that happened since.
Right.
So we got a lot to cover, but like, this is crazy. It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Maybe we don't all have to do it all in one sitting. I mean,
what's that?
Well, if we happen to get into it, and we might want to talk about something longer, you know. But if we just kind of raise over the top of them,
if I may, please. Well, there's two schools here. If we say, hey, we'll do another cast, what if we have another month hiatus? I feel
we
like
won't.
We got. I know. But point B, yes. I would be remiss if we didn't say, hey, we've starved our audience of a podcast for 2 months. And I'll come right out and apologize. You know, a lot of busy schedules, a lot happening. It takes a lot to make
There's
this.
There's got to be a lot of people upset that we
there
haven't
are,
been
yeah.
around.
I hope we didn't lose any of our listeners.
Thousands of people upset.
But the problem being is it would be a disservice to all of our listeners if we had 7 items and 2 months worth of material to go over and we just puked it all into 1 hour podcast and then started from scratch. I feel like this is a couple in here maybe. Let's just see how it goes.
It might be. Yeah, let's see how she goes.
Okay, so this is taking on a parallel for me. Mm-hmm. My mom is a big Elvis fan, right? So when the Elvis movie came out and how, you know, they talk about Colonel Tom Parker, blah, 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 blah. But Elvis had the big comeback concert on TV. Maybe this is our comeback podcast. What do you think?
Well, I feel like we just sort of had a nap for a bit. We had lots to do.
Who's Colonel Sanders?
Colonel Sanders. No. Well, you don't know Colonel Sanders. You know who Colonel Sanders is. But anyways, that movie. That wasn't on my list, so we can't really
talk
about it.
See, now we're adding to it. We already have 10 items.
Yeah, you're right. But this
okay,
is,
where
this
do we leave comeback. Off, boys? Early July. What was going on?
I believe the last guest we had was Jordy, so that would have been talking about the women's national team,
mm-hmm.
right? And then what? What was next? I guess Canada Games? Provincials?
Yeah, we talked about provincials.
Sorry, Canada Cup.
A little bit about provincials. Canada Cup would have been, that would have been after. Yep, for sure. But I think the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 events that have happened, Canada Game was the first on the list. So do you want to touch on that, Dino?
Well, sure. I mean, okay. it was just a hard thing, I think, for us as a group. I mean, the Saskatchewan girls side, we like everybody, it was so long kind of going through it. It was, you know, we were, I think, kind of going back, and it was part of 5 years, right? Yeah. As the coaching staff kind of going through some stuff. And, you know, it's a long haul with the COVID dealing with that. And then all of a sudden, you know, then you're moving forward, and then it's like, holy smokes, it's already here, and now it's done. Like, it was, you know, it was pretty quick. And I think overall for us, like, and the people will disagree with me, I know, but we ended up finishing fourth on the girls' side, and I think that's right where we were. Not to say we couldn't beat the top, because we proved that we were the only team to beat BC, and it was 2-0. That was a great game. But overall, BC proved that they were the number one team. They beat Quebec hard both times. I think they edged out Ontario in their, if you want to call it the undefeated game or whatever. That was a great ball game. But as soon as BC won that game and went to the final, it was a major, major advantage for them and a disadvantage for all the other teams vying for, you know, to win it, because I don't think anybody had the pitching to go through and beat all those three top teams and then all of a sudden expect to beat BC in the final. Right? So again, that's just my own, you know, bantering around. And are we a great team? Yes, we are. And if we would have smashed the ball, you know, and we were getting to that point, we started hitting the ball a little bit, but if we would have hit the ball a little bit more, I think that would have been a different conversation. But I don't know. I think that's I think we kind of got what we deserved, if that's kind of my thoughts anyways.
I kind of thought, yeah, I mean, the way it all panned out and the way the team played, you probably ended up where you should have ended up. I think that, and this is not a slight, I mean, it happens all the time. I think that there was players on that roster that underperformed, right? And didn't have great weeks, and some key people in that lineup that just didn't have great weeks. And that happens. That happens to all good teams, right? It's just, you know, it's unfortunate it happened in that spot. But the reality is, too, you were one run away from not being in that situation, right? If you beat BC 3-0 instead of 2-0, you're not in that situation, right? Or the game against Manitoba, you know, I don't know.
That's the one for me that set us. I mean, we ended up losing that game to Manitoba, and Manitoba is a good ball club. But we had our destiny in our hands right there.
Yeah.
Right. And we ended up losing that one, and then we beat BC. But like you say, if we needed one more run to make it make a difference, right?
Yeah.
So, it was tough. But I thought the event itself, like overall, they did a decent job with it. But, you know, I know there's people disappointed about the parks, and fans weren't overly excited about sitting 100 feet in the back of the home run fence. You know what I mean? Like, there was none of that, you know, around the backstop was set aside for just coaches and umpires and that sort of thing. It was just kind of weird. It was a little different. And facilities wise, you know, I don't think they were fantastic either, but we kind of knew that going in.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to
congratulations to the boys. Sorry, Donnie. The boys, Sask boys got third place. Mm-hmm. You know, so congratulations to them. I thought they had a pretty good job. I'd be curious to see where their coaching staff feels they should have been. You know, but there's two real good teams that finished ahead of them. So, yeah, be curious to see. Maybe we should have them on.
Well, now that's all over. Now it's all over. They could probably come on and talk to us.
So. Yeah.
I would hope so. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Dino. In your perspective, so for anyone who wasn't unfamiliar, Alberta, Manitoba, you, Quebec, Ontario, were all in BC in a 4-1 record. Sort of, Alberta beat Manitoba. Manitoba beat you. You beat BC. It was a real mess in terms of. And we had Coach Jones was in Saskatoon for first practice. Not to jump ahead, but he talked about when they played Alberta in the round robin, they had to mercy them to get to advance. And so it was just – it became such a runs for and against, and how many you score and how many against. But out of the top five, let's say, is there anyone that surprised you as to where they finished?
No, because I honestly think even the top six, like you could have thrown six popsicle sticks up in the air and, you know – where they land, that's the order of finish. Like, it was almost, other than BC, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, the only thing that throws a cog into that is we beat BC, right? Nobody else did. Nobody else, you know, I mean, Jonesy had Ontario had a good go at them. But other than that, I mean, Quebec had two chances at them and got beat hard. And lost on to Quebec both times hard too. So, I mean, Quebec proves that they were better than Ontario that week. So, I don't know. I see one being BC, and I think that's they deserved it. Two, Quebec deserved it because they beat Ontario hard twice. Ontario beat us. They're ahead of us. And us finishing fourth. We beat Manitoba, and we didn't get to play Alberta. But, you know, that's how those two teams kind of finished 5 and 6. So, they were all great teams. I don't know. That would have been I think, like I say, you could have another tournament tomorrow, and I think you're going to have a different order of finish.
As a proud, I don't know how do I put this, Papa moment, would it have been nice to see Jordy go against Waters head-to-head in a game at that level?
Yeah. It would have been awesome. Yeah, it would have been fun. But, I mean, it was fun to see them all. Like, really, I mean, you think of Jordy, but you think of a lot of the twos that were on that summer games team that were graduating and going off to college. That's a proud moment for us, for all of those kids. And, you know, now that they're probably into their first month of school now, it'd be good to touch base with some of them and do like we did last year, maybe touch base and see how their school started out, and be good to catch up with some of them for sure.
Well, we have plenty of cast to fill up with guests, so we'll do that. Not to tip our hands. We don't want to do that. But I did hear rumor that we have an incredible guest lined up somewhere down the road. Not going to tease it up too much, but whoa.
I can't even tell you.
I know. Unbelievable.
Okay. Fuck, Martinez.
Why would you do that? Yeah, don't say that. No, you don't.
There's enough people that know how excited I was. I couldn't keep it down. So we've already talked about the podcast about, you know, me being a 12-year-old and screaming out Buck Martinez right at the baseball game. So we got an email back, Donnie.
I know.
It's just so exciting. So
what's his first name?
We're gonna get Buck on here at some point. What's that?
What's his first
John.
Name?
John. John Martinez emailed me, and seriously, I was this close to just deleting it, as you know, a couple of my 100 emails that I can't get through. Right, so it's like John Martinez almost didn't make the cut, and then all of a sudden I saw twos or something in it. I kind of just opened it up. Buck at the bottom. I'm just like, oh my gosh,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
I can't wait for
that. So yeah, we'll get him on here.
Okay. What's next on the docket, Tosh?
Nationals. All the national championships for all the categories. You know, we had a couple in Saskatoon. The U15 girls were here, as well as the U17 boys. Razor was coaching in that. Did a heck of a job with the Selects program. They had a good run. Unfortunately, just, you know, came up a little short. But again, lots of twos kids out there from that New Zealand trip that Dino took the boys on, and Dino and Razor took the fellas on, and so that was pretty cool to see. But that, you know, that's our next group of national team players for that U18 team. So it was pretty cool to go watch that. U15 girls, lots of representation. I mean, we could, I don't know. It's part of that discussion, I guess, around, are there too many teams at nationals?
You know what I mean?
Opening
up a ball of
I am. And it's more of a discussion point. I don't know the right or wrong answer. I just know that, you know, back when you had to win provincials to go to nationals, it just seemed like the national tournament was stronger. But then I don't know if it's that way now because, you know, is it stronger because you get to send a couple more teams from BC and a couple more Ontario teams where we know, you know, it would be a little bit more difficult to get out of that province or provinces. So I don't know. The debate rages on, but I can tell you that the COVID drop-off is real. We talked about that in our parent meetings. You know, the fact that these kids at all levels have two years of not really playing any meaningful games has hurt us. It's hurt us as a country for sure. And I think we've got to figure out ways to fast track some of that stuff, and playing more games, I think, is the way to go. And my ask would be that, you know, the administrators of leagues and stuff look at it and try to lengthen the season a little bit, you know, get into some warmer weather. And I know, I get it. There's people that want to go to the lake, and there's summer holidays and other activities, and I get all that. But maybe I'll just throw it out there. Maybe there's another level of competition where you still have your leagues, you still have a provincial playdown, but then you have like a AA provincial playdown. And those are the teams that go to a national championship or maybe play a little bit longer into the season where, you know, they're playing all of July. And I just think it would help us as a country as far as feeding, you know, not only feeding U.S. colleges, but feeding our national team program. But anyways, that's probably a podcast on its own. But
well, there are provinces that are doing, like even ours does some, you know, some September
but
leagues, you know what
I
mean? But
they're trying. I get it. But it's already just done, right? Like all the kids, some of the kids now, they're not all playing, right? That's the thing. I don't know. I think if COVID showed us one thing, and talking to some parents about it, COVID showed us one thing with our season that in 2020 not starting until July, There were no canceled games. The evenings were beautiful at the ballpark. Instead of, you know, it's still sleeting in May, kind of thing, right? So I don't know. I after seeing the Nationals and stuff this year, boys, and seeing where we're at across the country, competition wise, I just think that, you know, there needs to be a discussion about the elite, and not I get the participation part. The numbers are good. We want more teams playing, more players playing, you know, and the argument is, well, we need, you know, more players playing A. I just don't know if they're playing A right now.
I have a topic for you guys to comment on. And by no means do I think we have the answer here. So I don't want to ruffle any feathers. We have a pretty good handle on softball in our own province and how good some of these players are. And, you know, we sent, how many teams went to the U-17s this year? Three, for sure? Maybe four?
Moose Jaw. Who else went? Moose Jaw.
Hustlers? Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Raiders?
Nope.
Nope. Raiders. Moose Jaw, Raiders.
Lumsden?
Lumsden. Three teams.
Okay. And so they were able to pick up a few players from surrounding zones or areas, right?
Yep.
Our top finish, I believe, was 13th. And again, I don't mm-hmm. want to come across like we're putting down our teams that represented there. But you said that question a little bit earlier about, are we, I don't know
watering
how you said
down.
It. Yeah, are we water? I don't like the term watering, but it, you know what I mean? It's like we're sending more teams.
Nationals has become a participation tournament and not a win to get in tournament.
Right. I just feel like the athletic ability that we know we have in the province mm-hmm. is better than 13th out of Canadian. That's my bottom line. But I don't know, you know, like I say, maybe it's a topic of discussion. We can kind of mm-hmm. give our opinion, or we don't have to give our opinion.
Well, I like the fact that they're filling the tournament, let's say, because it's tough when you go to a Nationals and there's nine teams, let's say. However, on the flip side, if I may play devil's advocate, you shouldn't be seeing BC 5 either, or Ontario 6. That's maybe not watering it down, but if you're going to compete, let's say Saskatchewan, let's say, using that as an example, well, now you got to play three more teams and use your ace in three more games. It changes the dynamic of how you approach a Nationals when there's 30 teams there. So I don't know. I'd rather it be more full. There's got to be a balance where it's not overflowing.
Well, how about this? What if there was more than just one way to qualify? What if you finished top two in the Canada Cup? What if you won the President's Tournament? You know, you've got regional tournaments around where there are good teams coming. And
make them mean something.
Yeah, wouldn't those tournaments mean more if they were a qualifier into something? You know what I mean?
You want to like the IC does it.
Yeah, IC does it. Curling does it. Like, I mean, there's different ways to qualify to get into the big dance, right? Instead of just checking a box at provincials, right? I checked my box. That means, yeah, win, lose, or draw, we're going to go. And I don't know how many. And again, I'm talking as somebody that would like to obviously see our talent grow and our talent expand and then start to push into the national team program, obviously, with that hat on. But I don't know how many parents I've talked to say, it's such a good experience for these girls to go to Nationals. It's a fantastic experience to go to Nationals. But it's just not pushing our sport, I don't think. I don't think the competition is at a level where every game you go out there and you're playing top level competition. And to me, that's what a national championship is about. You know, so
you know what? I just realized something. I'm sure those conversations are going on with people that are really smart and in the know. Mm-hmm. We just haven't made the cut, boys.
True,
we haven't been in those conversations. Son of a gun, eh?
Yeah, nobody asked.
Kinda
us.
Hurts. Yeah, kind of hurts.
Hey, can I go back a quick second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had my hand up, but no one saw me. That's okay. We talked about the COVID drop off, and I know we talked about this a little bit this weekend. But I think that another challenge, if I may put devil's advocate again, is that we had a kind of a half season the year before. And then this year we had Nationals, Canada Games, showcase tournaments. And I think we, there was some, I don't want to call them dead arms, but we saw a lot of velocity issues near the end of the year where we were pitchers, let's say, doing too much. Was there burnout? Was it because we had a bit of a half season, then we had a full season, felt maybe like some of these players were playing a season and a half. By the end of the year, we saw a lot of fatigue and a lot of things coaches and scouts were looking at were numbers were down. And so I maybe next year we everything gets kind of gets back into normal. I don't know. I'm spitballing, boys.
Yeah, no, that's not, you're not far off, I don't think, on some, because we did hear of some pitchers that, you know, at the Canada Games or at Nationals, it just didn't have the same snap as they have had in the past. And yeah, I don't disagree that could be absolutely part of the reason, you know, so.
It's nice to make
it. But anyways, here and there. It was the bottom line is it was awesome that there were national championships this year.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was great fantastic. That the players could go out and compete and, yeah, so that was awesome. So, anything else on the Nationals?
I don't know. I think we've probably stepped on enough toes. Yep.
I don't think we stepped on toes.
No, we didn't step.
No. I just don't want people to think we're coming across as that we know it all. We don't. But
no.
It's curious to just talk about it. And
no, you know what?
Maybe there's some.
We don't know it all, but we do have some knowledge in the area, right? We deal with it all the time. So, yeah.
Okay,
so I don't think it's a bad thing to talk
about. Here's another comparison. You said that Saskatchewan's top finish, well, that was 17s, not 19s.
17s, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Canada Games, who won? BC.
BC.
Who won 19? Who won 19 Nationals? BC did, didn't
BC?
They? Yeah.
Could be.
I don't have that information right
now. I don't know either.
My tongue. I'm pretty
17th?
Sure I'm sure it was BC and then Ottawa. The Ghosts, I thought, got third.
You've chinked a hole in our armor, Donnie. We should have that information right handy.
The guy that usually researches this
is you.
He didn't. So,
just for a comparison's sake, like for Canada Games, where did the province finish? Yeah. Nationals?
Yeah.
Was there a correlation? Mm-hmm. I guess was the question.
Yeah.
So,
well, okay, but here's another example too, and it comes back to. Maybe we don't play enough games in the prairies, and that's due to climate. I get all that, but when BC wins, and just throwing out there figuratively, not BC wins, they're winning on game 85-90,
right?
And if Saskatchewan plays their last game at Nationals, they're playing 40-45, right? That's a big difference, and that's obviously, the competition in BC is a little bit. It's closer. They can do more. But I'm just saying,
it's definitely something we have to look at.
Play more games
somehow. Yep. If we're going
to
win,
play more games. We have to play more games. So, anyways,
cool.
I want to touch on Lolly and his cool retirement this year.
He's going to be Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Kudos. He'll be back.
He will. He'll totally be back.
Yeah.
Kudos to a guy that is retired, that has my jersey on his wall. Eh? I'll just throw that in there. No, great career, obviously, and I'm sure there's many Hall of Fames that he'll have his plaque in.
Yes.
Sure. So
well deserved.
Great dude.
Yeah, and hopefully it's not the last time we see him because we got to see him play ball a little bit more. He's done some amazing things, and
just not in Masters for a while.
Yeah, well, by the time he gets there, I'm sure we'll be coaching.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Just wanted to make sure we made mention of that. And congrats to Lolly.
Very cool.
Congrats to the. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to jump ahead because we'll talk about the men's nationals maybe later, but
we can talk about it right now.
Well, we could. Call
the other podcaster. Well, Randy and the boys out there.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah.
But
Lolly was, you know, obviously in Newfoundland, they were a great host. They gave us a ton of great suggestions to go to eat, to where to go, what to do. Very hospitable. But we did ask him, hey, you want to come to Vegas? And my answer I got back definitively, no. Oh, why is that? Well, I'm playing 3 more days of softball and that's it. And I'm hanging him up. And I honestly thought maybe he was just blowing us off because he didn't want to come.
Yeah.
But no, he was there's a big kind of a ceremony. They showed him taking his cleats off, put him on the bag. It was not a better way to go. I mean, they've won 8 out of 9 nationals at the men's level. It's time to break that group up. Send some more guys out to retire.
Anytime it's not a physical thing, like, you know what I mean? Like somebody retires and you think they've got a lot of years left, everybody always thinks, oh, geez, they got to be back. But I'm sure Lolly's got good reasons, family, kids, all that fun stuff that he's, you know.
It could also be he has no more fingers to put rings on to. What the hell, though? What's he got to prove? He's won everything you can win.
Anklets.
Yeah.
You can get an anklet.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But, great career. Congrats, Lolly, on everything. And, it's fantastic.
Okay, Lolly, off the list. Okay, ISEs, Donnie, how did that go?
Well, I mean, it was upsetting, I guess you could say. We had, just to talk about our team for a quick second, started off really well. Zippy threw really well. We had some timely hitting from Jonesy, guys like that, the usual suspects. But I'm not making excuses now, just pointing out some obvious facts. Keegan Arcand, who is an incredible hitter, smashes the ball and is our catcher. He had a baby. Congratulations, Keegan. But the timing of this baby could not have been more awful for the rest of the fellas. Now, it doesn't matter at this point, but he couldn't come. So now Blake Hunter, who is usually our third baseman, is catching. Blake did a great job, but it changes the dynamic of our hitting lineup and our defense for sure. So that was a bit tough. Steven Norman was supposed to come. He couldn't make it, so we were down an arm. So we were up against it. We still had a great run. The game that I'm going to point out that was very difficult to be in was we played the Bear Creek Express on a 8 o'clock. Cleary's throwing, and Bear Creek is really good, stacked. But they use the white ball at ISCs, and now it's dark. The lighting isn't great. And Cleary was throwing a shadow. It was very difficult to pick up. The boys had a hard time. But we left 14 runners on base in this game. It was a 3-1 final. Mason hit a walk-off bomb. Of course he did. But we had two runners on every single inning, and he just found a way to get us out. Very frustrating. The play we scored a run, we actually had a guy thrown out at the plate on the same play. Patty Burns got thrown out, and he's fast, and it was a great idea, but they threw it, make a good relay. So at any point, I'm just throwing this out there as a what if. Keegan Arcand is there, and he comes up in any of those 7 innings with 2 runners on base. I like our chances of him getting a hit. Here we are. But it's a 1-1 game in the 7th, and I'm going to this isn't my shot, but I'm going to poke at Bolin a little bit here. He wears a bit of armor, and Zippy threw a ball inside, and he didn't move. He kind of maybe, you could even argue he leaned into it a little bit and took it on the elbow pad and goes to first. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we poke at him a little bit from the bench. He has a laugh. Next guy gets out. We have 2 outs, runner on first base. And Mason's up. And Mason has scorched 2 balls to this point. He's out, but he scorched 2 balls. 3-0 count. And I look over at Todd. I'm like, hey, why don't we put him on here? And he goes, we'll go after him. So Zippy throws an outside dipper and beautiful pitch and strike 1. And the next pitch he threw, kind of pulled it inside a bit. Mason got his bat on it, hit it hard over the fence, game over. It was very difficult. A tough ending for that game, for sure. Put us up against it. We had to come back to the other side. We beat the Batman. We beat Niagara. And then we lost to Devo. Of course, we lost to Devo. He threw really well against us, and we were done. But we got knocked out at the same time Hill got knocked out. Like there was a few upsets there that were... The landscape in the men's game is changing, for sure. Mm-hmm. So the Twins with Mata, who is arguably the best in the world right now, they won, immediately folded, and now they're with Niagara. So just a lot changes right at that park. We've had friend of the cast, Greg Leather and Varm, had to come through the backside and play 4 games and just ran out of gas against a really good team. Still probably the best hitting lineup at ISCs on the Gremlins, or arguably. But it was fun. The weather was good. Tough to go in ranked 5th and not get not place top 3, but it was a good year for us, for sure. Now we've got to work on trying to keep Zippy and all the fellas on the roster and go back to Green Bay next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we all love. The Circle Tap Diamond, yeah.
The tap.
They'll do another good job.
Yeah, they will.
Did you hear where they are the year after, boys?
Surrey.
Yeah.
Softball City.
Which is fantastic cool. for that complex cool. to get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since it's been out there. Probably 97. Hey, Dino?
I would think.
97 in Victoria?
That's the last time ISCs were that far west in Canada?
I think so.
Wow. You can thank Richie Haldane for
last
that,
time,
sure.
That's the last time they were west of Ontario.
And that complex will be amazing.
It'll be all fire. It'd be cool because everything's right there. Right. And I mean, all the fields are well lit and all the scoreboards work and, you know, all those things that make a tournament good, you know?
Yeah.
So, I got a question for you, Donnie. You confused me a little bit. You kind of used it as an excuse, but maybe it was an excuse.
Oh yeah.
The ball was really dark.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to see. Yet you had 14 runners on.
Right.
So, was it just hard to see when you had runners in scoring position?
Seems like
okay.
I don't know. I do have a question. So you guys said you chatted Donnie about whether you should put him on or not.
Yeah.
Right? So it's 3-0.
Yeah.
So did that conversation come when it became 3-0?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think you're right on you gotta go. Like, I mean, you're not gonna put somebody in scoring position. Who's up after Mason?
I honestly don't remember. Mason, for whatever reason, was batting the seventh maybe in that lineup. That's how good Bear Creek was. So, yeah. But the thing about it, just my opinion, or it's real easy to sit here and say because Mason hit a ball.
Yeah, after the fact, we were geniuses, right?
But nobody, like their shortstop, who no one had ever seen before, ran into one, and that was the only other hit they had. So,
because I don't mind your argument in the fact that, so you got a great hitter, and they're at 3-0.
Yeah.
Right? And we all know... At 3-0, somebody swings and hits the ball, their percentages of getting on base or doing well are very high.
Yeah.
That's the same with 3-1, and it's the same at 3-2. So now you're giving Mason three opportunities to hit a pitch, right, that he should, you know, that possibly he's going to hit hard or well or whatever, right? So there the argument might be, yeah, maybe you do put him on, but...
But again, at that point, a single beats us anyway. But Mason has walked us off a couple times now, and it's tough. It's a tough thing to replay in your mind for sure. He did it in Saskatoon at the Rawlings, and I mean, yeah. All I thought was he's a professional hitter, and he's going to get two for sure really good looks at a hittable pitch if we want to get back in this count. So if it were me, and I don't have the skill of Zip, so maybe Zip doesn't think anybody can beat him, and he probably should. I think everybody can beat me, so I just want to sometimes concede, you know? Let's move on. I had girls this weekend beating the crap out of me. Mason.
Well, it's awesome. It's awesome to think back and, you know, when you have time to think about situations like that and do you do it, do you don't? Because at the time, it's not a real clear decision to, you know, so it's hard on the coaches for sure.
Yep. All right. ISCs, scratch, scratch, scratch. Oh, and congratulations to all the fellas going into the Hall of Fame. Played with and against a few of them. So
Boxy.
Boxy. Yeah. Travis Wilson.
Yeah. Musler, yeah. That's fantastic. What a good group.
I can't believe it's been this long for Musy, though.
I think he was still playing. Like, didn't he kind of come back when he was still playing a couple of years ago?
I guess.
Maddie Shannon got inducted like 3 years ago. And he came over and he played. And he played this year too and was still real good. And has the, no disrespect, his start and his stance, it's wild. I would never expect him to hit the ball. And then he just turns and hammers it.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting Paddy Shannon from ISC stories. He's catching for Niagara and Travis Head. We made fun of him because he had a bat that it's called a Hellcat. And it is a double wall bat. So it sounds kind of like it's broken a bit, but the ball is trampolining off this thing. And he hit a home run off of Linton, maybe. Travis Head did. And it makes this ting, like real odd sound. And you can hear from the dugout, Paddy Shannon saying, hey, maybe we ought to check that bat. It sounds loaded. It's pretty funny. It does sound. Yeah. So anyone out there who has the Hellcat or has seen it, it sounds loaded. It sounds fake for sure.
All right.
Next.
Now into tryouts. Now we get down to tryouts. Holy moly.
What about our Canadians? Or is that okay?
Well, that's technically after. Yeah.
Tryouts we're after, right?
I gotcha. Okay.
We're in order of occurrence here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Fine.
So tryouts. Great response, obviously, this year. We always say it's it's the best that we've ever had. It's the most we've ever had. It's the most, it was the most we've ever had. 294 kids trying out this year, which was amazing. Really happy with the talent, and you know, the process took a little bit longer, obviously, because we were at Nationals, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But can't thank enough the people that are the parents that got their kids out for tryouts, and it was so good to see some of the newer ones come and try out. And so teams were selected, and you know, there was a lot, like probably more so, Dino, than obviously any other year, conversations around players that you know, we were down to our last few selections, and there was probably five or six players that
it was a hard one.
Yeah, could have even been in selected into that spot. So I know there were some hard decisions, and I know there was some people that didn't get the news they wanted to get. But that was just a product, I think, of the talent level that came out. And yeah, it's getting better and better. And conversely, there's some people playing some positions that they're not used to playing. You know, we've got to teach some new positions, which isn't a bad thing. It was good.
The hard part is, like, you don't want to, like, I mean, we're a Saskatchewan based company, right? So the argument comes, and I can see it from certain parents or people that would be upset that the company is growing or the program is growing to the point where there are a bunch of kids from BC, Ontario, Manitoba. Like, I mean, that just starts to happen. And I, you know, I mean, we've said it lots. It's just, I don't want to apologize for the growth of the company. That's not, you know, we shouldn't have to apologize for that. It's elite ball. It's elite travel ball. And the more people that get involved in it, the level of play is going to go up. It's just the hard part. And the thing that tugs on our hearts a little bit is the fact that, yeah, there are people from Saskatchewan or people that have been in our winter training or whatever, that either don't get the decision they want. And it's not lost on us. It's upsetting. We understand why it is upsetting, and it's upsetting to us too. But at the end of the day, we're here to provide, you know, that experience to anybody that feels the need to try out at this point, right? So if there's more people from other provinces coming out, that, you know, it's hard to apologize for that. That's growth.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's there were some really tough decisions for sure this year. And
Well, and I think that goes, it goes to, you know, we said it last year, that, you know, nobody was cut that was on the team during the COVID year, because we hadn't seen many of them play. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any apologies per se. I think there's an explanation, and the explanation is the talent's getting better, which means players that want to be a part of the team program need to do the work to make sure that they're ready for tryouts, and they're, you know, and it's not just about that. We watch summer stuff. We watch development. We watch all of those things, because there's more than just what happens at the tryouts. And yeah, I just think that it's gotten to the point now where there's players need to look at what they're doing, and is it enough to get you prepared to play at the next level? And that's the biggest thing is, anytime there's more competition, anytime there's not only more competition, but the volume of the competition increases, then if you're in that pool of players, you need to make sure that you do everything to prepare for that, and not just, you know, 3 days before the camp, you're taking some swings, right? So, yeah.
There was just an overabundance. I mean, the 07 group was really, really, really talented this year, and there was a lot of numbers. Same thing with the 09s. Like, that was, those are two age groups in particular that were, there was a lot of people trying out for those age groups. So, yeah. That's where we found the most competition amongst players for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If I can make a quick point about what I saw, I only got to go to the last tryout because obviously I was gone for the first two. But you could make the argument that you could have picked teams out of the third tryout group and sent competitive teams from just that tryout, and you had to go through two other groups. Like, the talent level is getting thicker and thicker for sure. So it was very, the competition is incredible. Very good.
I think that's exactly it. There's just more competition, not only in the level of the talent, but the volume. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm putting the rosters together, and they are drastically changing as far as where people are coming from, and it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So
that was quite a selection process, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you say?
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah. So we go to Newfoundland, and Newfoundland is, you know, hospitality and great food and, you know, live music and all this. I saw none of that.
None of that.
It was play, ice, Advil, computer. Like, yeah. And, you know, and we talked about it at one of the Chalk Talks. We did a communication drill communication exercise. And one of the questions was asked was, okay, so you got to give your name, you got to give your age, your favorite TV show or movie. And then, what was your reaction when you got your call? And it was so funny to actually have the girls kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and let us know how it goes. Cause we know that they're excited and we've seen it before, you know, like cakes get made. And I mean, it was just, you know, it was just some fun stuff. I didn't realize how devious, how the trickery involved with the parents telling their kids. So, because obviously we're calling from Newfoundland, so calls maybe got a little late. So, you know, they were bursting into rooms where their child had been sleeping for a while. They wake up startled, like somebody's burning down the house, and the mom and dad are both crying that they made the team. Or it was like, I'm going to hold on to this information and I'm not going to let them know for a couple hours. Wow. We're just going to sweat it out a little bit. Oh, so there was some of that going on. So the kids are telling us these stories and I'm going, holy moly. Right. But the overarching theme was, well, I didn't think I made it. Well, I didn't think I made it. I thought I got cut because the calls came much later than the normal, mm-hmm. because of the process. Right.
Yeah.
And the time frame. So, but as we said, it's not over until it comes out on social media that it's over, right? So anyways, it was a pretty cool exercise, and there was some pretty excited kids, obviously. So
and you can ballpark it, obviously. How many calls did you make?
Oof.
Well, calls and texts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's just say calls for now.
Combined probably 200.
Okay.
Give or take, yeah.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, call calls. Like
back and forth, yeah.
And on average, each call is probably in the 3-4 minute range in terms of just, sometimes, hey, congrats, some questions.
500, some are long, 600 some are, minutes.
Some are longer than others.
Yeah.
Janky.
That's an average of 800 minutes you spent on the phone in the last, you know, the last week of September or first week of September, sorry.
Yeah.
So I can say from my perspective, I had a few concerned parents who were texting or phoning saying, hey, do you know if they're done making calls? I'm like, hey, I'm going to be honest. I'm in the same hotel as Tosh and Dean, and I haven't even seen them.
Hey, so, you weren't the only instructor trying to get inside info.
Yeah, let's no put kidding. It
that way.
Yeah.
Oh, anybody that was working with anybody was, hey, so how's the process going? Yeah, have you got this person in the mix yet?
That's like, right. I'm going to do a lesson with so and so. Just I'm not going to say anything, but you know, just to give me a heads up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you all got the same answer.
That's right.
No.
Yeah,
we're not.
So, but now we're into it, and I guess we can just go. We'll talk about nationals last. But so now we're into it. Finished our first practice. You got something, Donnie?
Oh no, I just wanted to remind Dean that he had a great parting shot, and I'm sure he's forgotten it. And if he needs me to remind him, I got you. Okay,
I have it.
Very good.
All right,
without question.
So first practice. First practice was something a little bit different, and I can't tell you. And thank you to the parents that have called, text, pulled us aside at practice or after practice, after a session, to give us the feedback on what they thought. Overwhelming. People were saying it was probably the best practice weekend we've ever had. And I think this the quick change in the format had a lot to do with it, probably all to do with it. And that was by position instead of by age. And I got to tell you, it went much better than, you know, we knew there's going to be a lot of moving parts. But just the way, because when you're in it, you don't realize what it looks like from the outside, right? So if I'm doing footwork drills, I'm just working on footwork drills, and, you know, I'm just talking about the innies right now. And, you know, Jonesy's doing some glove work, and Jay's doing some throwing. And then you look over in the corner, and Craven has got all of the strength and conditioning stuff going. And then I didn't even see what the outies were doing. I knew what they were doing, but I didn't see what they were doing because they're on the other side of the curtain. But I can only imagine what that looks like from up top, from the viewing area, where you're watching all this stuff going on, and we're, you know, we're pulling kids out of drills, and it's a lot of one-on-one stuff and corrections right on the spot. And, you know, and that's one of the things that we talked about, is we need to be, our program needs to be more fundamentally sound, right? When we go down to the States, we need to be fundamentally sound. And, you know, we've seen players kind of go off a little bit out of that fundamentally sound realm, and we haven't corrected it right away because we just, you know,
you don't have time.
Yeah, I don't have time, or right, didn't recognize it right away because the, you know, whatever, group size, blah blah blah. But this allowed us to do that, and it was really cool to have some conversations, and there was players too where, because we had, you know, Jonesy looking and Jay looking and myself and Donnie and whoever else, right? Whoever else was on the floor in that drill, all seeing something. It was very cool to be able to just identify and go, well, that's why that happens, right? That's why that player does that all the time. Look at what she's doing. Because now, instead of me hitting a ground ball, I'm actually just watching them do it, right? So that was really cool. The Chalk Talks were awesome. Craven was awesome. You know, and then next weekend, we're going to do the same thing again, but now we're going to add Carissa. So now the mental performance part's going to come in. So it's another building block for these athletes, right? Yeah. So I'm just tickled. And then, you know, as we go into our third practice session, we'll start bringing them back together into rosters and getting them ready for their trips. But yeah, it was just the whole process, the tryouts, the practice planning, you know, the ordering of the uniforms, even just number assigning, right? Jersey numbers is just
it's crazy.
Massive process, right? Because you can't have the same jersey numbers.
Nobody knows what they're getting for their jersey numbers yet, but when they get their uniforms, some are going to be excited, some are not going to be, but I mean, they all give three choices, right? So what I did was I went through, obviously, those that are returning players, we try to give them their number back, but if there was somebody that's older that has had that number longer, then they're going with their second or their third. And even some of the seconds and thirds. So here's some advice to the kids next year. So somebody, for example, they chose number 6, number 8, number 12. Those are their three choices. Guess what? They don't get 8. They're probably not getting 6. If they probably don't get 6, they're probably not getting whatever, 12, because they're all those common numbers. Mm-hmm. Have that one, like, you know, like Army will have 61 probably till she's you know, out of the program, because nobody's going to be jumping at 61. 91, Langer, right? She's getting her number back. Like, that's, those people are kind of a little bit ahead of the game by picking numbers like that. So, yeah, just a little bit of a heads up for next year for some of them. Took a while.
You just went right outside of that screenshot because you were that adamant about that for some reason. We lost you there. You went out of the screen.
Oh, it's just over here?
Yeah, there you were. Yeah.
Just leaning.
I know what it's like. I'm a number guy.
And we tried to switch the number. Like, so if somebody had 14 and they couldn't have their second or their third, then maybe we'd try 41.
Right.
Right. So anyways, there's going to be some surprises along the way, but
yeah,
least they got a jersey, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I want to bring up something about Jonesy if I could.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, yeah, so first Friday's practice, Tosh, like, hey, you're doing glove work with Jones. So when, as a guy who plays third base very, very average, getting paired up with Jones, who is for sure smooth, super smooth. So anyway, we're talking away about what we're gonna do, and I'm thinking in my head, well, I mean, this guy is the godfather of the middle infield. He probably has the right to say whatever he wants. So I'm just gonna kind of point out some stuff.
Pick up stuff, Donnie, that's yeah. close.
So
maybe laying on the ground.
So one of the
get him water. Get him water. Hey, do you want some water? Need a towel.
But so I'm at he starts on one and I start on the other, and we're talking away, and I can't remember which, and I wouldn't say which kid it was, even if I remembered, but somebody goes, hey, what's this guy's deal? Like, oh, this guy, he's arguably the best shortstop this country's ever produced. And then all I hear is, oh, which is pretty funny. So anyway, he makes his way back. He makes his way back down, and I said something to him, and I'm like, hey, do you want to mention the pace? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, we got kids just ripping through ground balls and not taking their time and not resetting. It's more important to focus on proper reps than just run through reps. He's like, well, why don't you say it? I'm like, well, I don't know. I didn't think I was allowed to. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I thought this was your drill. I'm just sort of here to. He's like, no, stop. And he pulls everybody in. He's like, Donnie's got something to say. And I just felt like the most pressure in the history of coaching. Yeah. It was terrible. But yeah, he was. I like
very humble man.
Very crazy humble. Yeah. And I'm going to apologize. I'm going to do it on my parting shot, but I'm going to apologize to Jones. I owe him one. And I think, you know what it is. But
he's just so smooth. And he's just, and the thing about him being out there, he's so excited.
Oh, yeah.
To be out there.
Yeah.
You can just see it when he's explaining it to the kids. He's just like, oh, no, you got to try it this way. Right. And you can just hear it in his voice. He just loves what he does. And I mean, a lot of our instructors are that way. And that's a benefit, testament to them, too.
Yep. So next steps, I guess, just letting everybody know that hotels and all that good stuff. We talked about the parent meeting, but if you're listening to the podcast, Marty Burgess, we're going through the, hotels, getting all that ready, and all the rosters and such will be coming out soon, which is cool because I mean, the kids have probably figured it out, yeah. Right? They're pretty smart at it. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? They probably have real close to what the roster is, yeah. But the parents are a little bit different, you know. They want to know and which parents are going with, and they're praying they're not going with certain parents. And oh my gosh, it's just crazy. So they'll get all that figured out. Yes, Donnie.
At the risk of getting yelled at, most of the other coaches are in the same boat too. Yeah, where are we at? And I know I've been poking at Tosh and Dino a little bit just to say, hey, where are we going? What's going on? I got a book holidays and whatever. And they're like, yeah, we'll get to you, which I understand. I'm just excited. But we're all
the hard part is, well, a lot of you guys, I mean, this is our gig, right? So, I mean, you know, if we don't have something that's going on particularly right here, our schedule is open. Like, because that's what we got to do. We got to go, right? But, you know, a lot of our instructors are doing this as a secondary thing because they've got something else, and so it's tough. It's tough to be able to just go take 2 weeks off and then say, hey, take your holidays, take more holidays, and take all these different things of leave. But anyways, that's why we got so many good people and we can hopefully spread it around.
I found that a cardboard cutout of myself at my desk and the light on solves a lot of issues. People walk in, hey, morning, Donnie, and they think I'm here. It's
probably worked.
It's a system.
Hey, don't kid yourself. It works in the first base coach's box too, bud.
Oh, good. As long as I'm well represented.
Maybe that's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do. Donnie's at this tournament too. Yeah, he's right over there. We're just helping him off the field. That's all.
I just want to be in the team pictures, boys. That's it. Get a Jimmy John's in me and be in the team picture. That's it.
Just get your toes pointed in the right direction and we're good to go. Yeah, good to go. Awesome. Okay. I guess lastly is Nationals, senior men's and masters. So
we may as well talk about you guys first. You're the Newfoundland of the
Masters. I thought we would talk about us last.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go first. My story is not as entertaining. First of all,
you guys had a good start, did you not?
Yeah, you had a great start.
We did. We started off on fire. We rolled over the U23s. We beat Scof and Nova Scotia in a really good game. Then we got Elmira. This is one of those games where every inning we thought we were going to break back in it. We got beat 4-2. First inning, there's a couple plays that we thought kind of went the wrong way, and They put up a couple runs. Huddy threw that game for us, and he was throwing outrageously hard. Huddy was. And he hit the ball for us. He was a great addition, Huddy. Beautiful. So we lost, and that was not ideal, to say the least. But then we ran into Kishig and the host Newfoundland team, and he was throwing a blinder. We played him at night, and he beat us. Like he was throwing high 70s, and he went on a bit of a run. So yeah, we ended up losing in the playoffs to the Batmen, who we beat at ISC's 10-1. So it was a flip of that. Wow. They put it on us pretty hard. Ty Sebastian went on a bit of a roll, and yeah, they were. The interesting part about men's nationals is everyone sort of expects the Noofs to win. Like, they're stacked and they're good and they're in their home province, and they lost their first game to the Batmen, and everyone was like, "Oh, maybe the Noofs are maybe it's finally time." And they, from that point on, just hammered the ball, and they proved why they're the best. And it was a great tournament. The one complaint, and you guys have the same one, the gardens. What happened? You know,
they moved it
to the furthest to point field. Away from. Yeah, it's tough. So not great.
You couldn't watch the game from a lot of the gardens. You had to be right at the very front.
Yeah, and once that fence is full, there's 40 people. That's yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the flight, like you mentioned it, the people are so hospitable. The food was awesome. Live music everywhere. It was an awesome experience. I was going to point it out in my shop, but I'll just bring this up. We get there, and we're trying to find our way to the park, and you guys stay in the same hotel. The road system is wild there. We came to at least four five-way intersections. Very confusing. And
a right turn was not just a right turn.
No, it was a right and then go backwards. It was like, I made the joke that it's like playing Miss Pac-Man. You just, the turns were just out of nowhere, go backwards, turn around. It was crazy. But it's a beautiful city. I had a great time. But we didn't have the result we wanted. We really wanted to get a medal there. And again, we were short a couple guys and had a couple injuries, and that's just the way it goes. Those short tournaments, it's not necessarily, I mean, Newfoundland did prove they're really good, but the Batmen, in my opinion, came out of nowhere, went on a run, had strung some hits together, pitchers threw well. It's the way it goes. How about you guys?
You just froze for a
You froze there and you were in this position.
Yeah. How about you guys? Well,
you're frozen again, Donnie.
Yeah.
Well, how'd your tournament go?
Couldn't quite hear what you said. I guess that's gonna.
Oh, it's on here though.
Shed some light on our answer. Yeah. You look great.
Thanks, guys. My hair went well today.
Well, I mean, we won, so it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a good one. Eatsy, it was nice having Eatsy there and Oldie.
Yep.
We missed Muley this year.
We did.
But yeah, no, it was good. Should we?
I don't know what you're gonna do.
Yeah, Dino.
I don't know what you're gonna say.
Stay with us here, bud.
Dino. Sorry, it froze there on me again.
Yeah. No.
No, it was great. You know, the thing I always think about Masters is, you know, who do we get to play this year? And you know, it was amazingly fun with, you know, to see Donnie out there again. Donnie Scott, you know, Wardo, obviously doing what he always does. I think he won the Legends at ISCs, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he ended up throwing 21 innings in the last 12 hours of the Masters Canadians. Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So good on him to see him doing that. We got to see Framer. Toiled up one against us, Tosh. We ended up beating him, but it was 3-0, and he definitely had us on our heels the whole game. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about that on the podcast.
Battle of the podcasts.
Yeah.
I think it was just the overall competition level, right? Like, and I mean,
it was better.
Yeah, it was awesome, and it was great to see, you know, Dan Loney and RT, and you know, it was good to see all those guys playing, and you know, just the talk to those teams, you know, all saying, yeah, we're going to go to Surrey next year, or, you know, and that's great, because I think I think the our segment, like the master segment, does have potential for growth because you have to graduate into it, sort of thing. And and I think if guys keep playing, then that's kind of the natural progression on where they want to go. It's just, and I'll throw it out there. I think the challenge is, and I get there's costs, and I get it's holidays and all this other stuff. But the challenge to some of these teams would be just don't make it a one and done. You know, like, and I get it's hard for Newfoundland to come all the way to BC and vice versa. I get that. But, you know, even when Nationals were in Saskatoon or Nationals were in Grand Prairie, you know, a little more central, there still weren't. It was still the usual. And I look at all the Nationals that we've been to now as a Masters team. There's four, three that we had to travel for. And I believe us and Grand Prairie are the only teams that have been in every one. Right.
Really?
So, yeah. So, you know, there's, yeah, it's just like anything else. You got to put some time in. It might be some fundraising, whatever, but I would hate to see this turn into a regional thing, you know, like next year it's in
BC. It has been.
Right. Yeah.
That's how it has been.
It has been regional. But you got teams. There's going to be a couple or three teams maybe in BC next year. They're going to be awesome. I hope that they put it together and they go to, you know, the rumor is maybe Saskatoon or wherever the next one is going to be instead of a one and done. You know, I just, yeah, that part I get on some levels, but I mean, you know, we decide that we're going to go, we go, right? And guys do their thing, and, you know, kudos to GP as well, because those guys are in the same boat. So, but yeah, I just think that part of the game has an opportunity to grow, and we did have a blast. You know, we had a really good time, and you know, I just think that if we're gonna keep this going, teams have to kind of commit to traveling. You know, that's where we're at. But it was a good week. You know, you and Itzy and Oldie threw really well. I don't think we hit like we have in the past. Obviously the pitching was pretty good too, but I don't think there were some guys that, you know, have gone off for us in the past that maybe didn't go off. And
so those guys, maybe they need more than four or five games a year. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what did we play this year? We played seven games at Nationals, and the final was game eight for me in the year. So, it's not even be better. It's be less sore.
Yeah.
I'm just starting to get to the point where I can push myself out of bed now.
Have you guys used Kin tape?
Well, no.
I didn't even know what the stuff was. I saw it on kids' arms.
Yeah.
I know it's very expensive, and I'm assuming they're just slapping that stuff everywhere, right? Not really knowing exactly what it's... That is gold, that stuff.
You're supposed to take it off, though, bud, in between games and stuff. He's walking around with his Kin tape on his calf, the same Kin tape, because it is expensive, and he's cheap for a week.
It wasn't me. I didn't pay for it, and I got it on every day in Numskull. I went to the park, and they put it on you. But anyways, it was like, so I pulled my calf the very first run to first base, and I thought, maybe it's a cramp. No, it wasn't a cramp. I pulled something. And they put like two strips of this stuff down the length of my quad or the calf, and then one strip across. And I was in shock. Like, I literally, like, I'm a little bit of a baby when it comes to my legs and my feet, right? They hurt. Oh, this and that. I could not complain. That Kin tape was unbelievable. So I would assume you two guys who are older and have some muscle still left, you should buy a round or two of that stuff, because you won't believe how...
So you can borrow it?
Well, it's not bad to have somebody else that has some too. But anyways, that stuff was amazing. That was my first star of the game, was that Kin tape.
Yep, and that was Nationals, the three-peat, and pretty proud of that. And see what happens next year when we go to Surrey, BC.
You know, who was it that was sitting there in the beer tent? Somebody said to one of our players, hey, we're coming to get you guys next year. Yeah. Was that Coleman out of Ontario? I think it was. I think someone's talking to Coleman. And that's fantastic. That's what you want, right? Yeah. Like, you don't, yeah, I love that. So a little bit of competitiveness, and yeah, see some of the boys again. That would be fantastic.
You absolutely want that. And I mean, and it's great. And the only thing I have to say is good luck with that.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
It'll be fun.
Awesome.
Hey, boys.
Cool. Yeah.
Hour and 6 minutes in here. Now we're good. But it's time for shots.
What do we do now?
Well, we've done this segment in the past, if anyone remembers, where we'll go around the table and have a parting shot. And you can choose to either have some words.
I got one. Or,
I know you do, but before you do, Dino.
No, I got one.
No, I know.
Okay.
Before my shot, I'm going to throw this apology out to Coach Jones. So we went to Sports on Tap to watch the fights after the Saturday practice. And we ordered some nachos, and then we're watching the fights, and people are kind of in between ordering appies and whatnot. And so I ordered a pound of mango habanero wings. Delicious. Very excited. And about 15 minutes later, and so did Coach Jones. And about 15 minutes later, I ordered a clubhouse sandwich, which is a nice choice, hoping that they'd be staggered in some way and that I could eat my wings and then 10 minutes later have a sandwich. So without thinking, of course, because I'm a gluttonous disaster, the food comes out. And hey, who had a clubhouse? This guy right here. Put my hand up. They put the clubhouse down. It looks amazing. Who had the mango habanero wings? And they only had one plate, didn't notice. And I said, well, I do, over here. So they brought the wings over and put them in front of me. And everyone gets their food, except for Coach Jones. And I look over at him, and he's just sitting there like a kid who didn't get anything, didn't get a Valentine, just sitting at the table, feeling. So I looked over, and I'm like, oh, Jones, you could have had these wings, but I got you got the same ones. And he looked at me with that sort of like, I'm very disappointed in you look. And he respectfully said, no, that's okay, I'll wait. I'm like, bud, you can have two, just have some while you wait. I was begging him to eat a wing because I felt such guilt. And he's like, no.
Yep.
And then our principal alone, he wouldn't do it.
No. He's learned something though, Donnie. Like, you know, like kids around a table, like the little ones that don't gain any weight, they got to jump in. Like
right.
he's there with you, me, Tosh. Who else was there?
Jay Farron. Yeah.
Jay.
Yeah.
Jay.
Like,
hey. I felt
you
bad.
Jump in.
Yeah. Well, he's going to start. I feel bad. Anyway, that's not my shot. That's my, I am sorry, Coach Jones. This is why you play short and I play third. So,
right.
We'll be back with shots. Who wants to go first? Dino, I know you're dying to get this one.
I will.
Okay.
So I'll set the stage.
Please.
So, you know, we're a little light on catchers. You know, like we got Bibbs playing outfield. We got Razor behind the dish. And so this year we only had a couple guys on the bench because we were a little short. And so there wasn't a lot of people to help warm up pitchers, right? So I get it's not his first job, that's for sure. But Colburn, okay, the chicken farmer, the guy that started this freaking podcast, right? So he comes out and he's energetic and he's looking like he's wanting to, you know, he says, okay, let's go. Come on. So I go out there and here's what I did. Those that know me, the ball gets a little bit tacky, right? So, I purposely, as we're walking out of the dugout, I grabbed a brand new, not a new ball, but a ball that was in the ball bag, grabbed it, walked out. All I just had a little bit of Gorilla Grip in my back pocket. And I'm playing a little catch with him. The first ball he throws back is in the dirt. So I've got to bend over and catch it. And you know how much I love doing that when we're warming up, right? So I got to bend over and catch it. The next one bounces three times and I stop it with my foot, right? And then I bend over and pick it up. And again, he's making all these actions over there because he's so, oh, I'm sorry. It's just so sticky, right? I'm telling him, all I've done is I've grabbed a ball out of the bag, but like you're in your own head, okay? Just throw the ball back to me, I said to him. Just throw it. And then he spikes another one, and it just rolled by me. I just turned, and I started walking back to the dugout. After about three warm-up pitches, right? So we're on the way back to the dugout, and I can hear him go, hey, no, come on. Hey, you got to warm up. And I just gave him the old wave with the hand, like, no, I'm done. And I walked in, and it was the fifth inning, and we were up 5-1. And Itzi's throwing a jam against Newfoundland. And at that point, I looked out. I kind of crossed my arms. I looked at Itzi. And I said to myself, unless he has a heart attack and dies on the mound, he's finishing this game. Yeah. Okay, so Colbert, figure it out, man. Yeah. Yeah.
So just to add on to that shot.
Yeah.
So now that was, he caught for you twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
so this is the
semifinal. Okay. You'd already given it to him. The semifinal, he couldn't throw it back to you. So yeah. We're lining up before the final and I walk out just to play catch. And he's throwing already, and I get out there and they're doing a three catch. So I jump in and he's my partner. And just before he throws the ball, he goes, oh, this is awesome. Actually get to throw a ball that isn't all sticky and da 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 da. And he misses me by 10 feet. It's not even close.
He's in his own head.
Yeah, missing me by 10 feet. So I run over to the fence and I pick up the ball, throw it back. Yeah, it's sure great throwing a ball. It's not sticky. He goes, I just got away. He throws the next one 10 feet the other side of me and hits Rizzo in the back.
Oh, my gosh.
Right in the back.
Okay, so I'm going to make a call here. So what time is Carissa here? This next practice? We're going to send a personal invite out to Colburn. He can attend the mental training with our kids because he's definitely in his own head and he needs to find his way out of it.
For sure. 100%.
Yeah. And we're also taking applications for backup catchers for next year as well.
So he had the yips.
He had yips, man. He had yipes.
That's a real thing. Mackie Sasser used to get the yips for the Mets.
Yeah, he had it.
If Mackie Sasser wrote a book, I'm buying it for him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Start calling him Rube Baker, you know, from Major League Two. Can't throw it back to the pitcher.
Right.
Are you going to go, Tosh, or can I go?
Yeah, you know what? You know, we talked about, and you know, we don't want to be too negative against stuff. And this is not anything at particular sites or anything like that. But we've heard it too many times now. Over the last little while, I know there was when you're going to host a championship, a national championship, whatever it happens to be, there needs to be a little more prep and a little more thought around facilities. And this isn't a shot, and I understand that there's budgets, there's everything like that, but maybe we're spoiled. We obviously are in Saskatoon.
Yeah.
But I've heard from most that anything that happened this year, the facilities just weren't, and it's not that they're not nice facilities. They just weren't ready. They're not ready to go. And it's not a shot. It's more of just a challenge that I think, you know, when we're going to national championships and the best athletes in the sport at that age group, in that gender category are there, they deserve to play on
well and it
on fields change. That are ready to go.
Yeah, it can make a huge difference on the outcome of a game.
Yeah.
On the level of the pitching mound or the you know, the batter's box or whatever it is that's seems to be disappearing to Japan.
That's not at any one facility or any one city or anything. I just more so this year than any other year. And maybe that was layoff, you know, like not hosting. I don't know what it was, but that I heard that a lot from different and it was at every age category and it was in both genders.
Yeah. Every park.
It was just not good. So I don't know if it needs to be a site before you bid, kind of have a look at what's going on or what's going on. And I get it. There's different things that go into it, but yeah, that would be my.
So you could say that a different way.
Okay.
Yeah. You could say, well done, Saskatoon, on everything you host. Cause it's absolutely spectacular.
Yeah. Like, and right. I know the work they put into it.
We get spoiled.
Like, we do. 100%. So kudos to like Kaz and his volunteers and Johnny and his staff because they That part, the parks are always in great shape. Everything's working. Games are announced. You've got every game was streamed. U15, every game was streamed. You know, like, it's just, if we're going to promote our sport, then we got to promote our sport and we got to take care of our championships. So there you go.
What's awesome is we all had how many flights in the last since the last podcast, and the Calgary airport's off the list. So nice work, boys.
He is purposely not booking.
I'm not going there.
I know. I love it. He's.
I'll threaten the pilot to stay in the air if he thinks he's landing in Calgary. I'll be tapping on the door saying, "Just try it, bud. Just try it."
So my shot, it goes to Razor. So Saturday we have outfield practice defense, and we go to the far side of the turf, and it's Farron and Kim and Razor and myself, and there what appears to be a World War II artillery gun sitting at home plate with two tires on it, and I look
the fungo machine.
The fungo machine, and so it's a brilliant machine, but Razor, if you could have seen the look on Razor's face when this thing starts firing ball, it was unbelievable. He was so excited. But there were issues. Now, I will say, to Razor's credit, we got the machine figured out and the balls were lobbing up in the air real nice. But because it's a two-wheeled machine and you can make it spin up or down a little bit, and now we're trying to loft the ball a couple hundred feet in the air, the balls are going up in the air and then as if gaining speed in midair and then diving down like a kamikaze bomber on the kids.
Had the wrong spin on it.
We had the wrong spin, And so Kim goes to catch one to demo. And this ball goes up in the air and Kim camps under it and it shoots down and lands 10 feet in front of her. Like she was under it, can of corn. And so Kim's like, oh my God. She comes back in where we're talking. Hey, that thing has got some spin. And I'm like, I'm not an outfielder. What do I know? It looks fine to me.
Yeah.
And then so the balls are shooting up in the air and Razor's like, girls, you got to be better. And then, of course, we looked and like, man, this is impossible. So anyway, we ended up figuring it out. But Razor was like a kid with a new toy at Christmas. He was so pumped to use this. And admittedly, way easier on the arms for throwing outfield. Way easier for catcher.
For sure. Yeah. But you know why he had to have top spin on it was probably because he's got to get that thing arcing before it hits the roof, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, but it was the best drop ball spin I've ever seen. This thing was incredible. So it's not really a shot at Razor. It's more of a shot at technology maybe. But this machine was impressive. And Razor was just jacked to use it. And he kept saying, this is freaking awesome. Meanwhile,
I think that's more the parting shot if I was to jump on your back on that one, Donnie.
Sure, would please. Be
the face and the cackling that he was doing as he was firing that machine at his catchers.
Oh,
like he's kind of going, like, I think that's not good, right? Like,
it's alive. It's alive.
I like that people find joy in the random things, and Razor really, really connected with that machine. So good for Razor. But
good for Razor.
Can't wait to see what he does with the next practice, boys.
Well, awesome. Shoot, we better all stay on his good side, and we could be walking by the door, and all of a sudden, poof.
Yeah, nicely done. Well, boys, it was awesome to be back.
It's good.
Awesome.
Nice to see you too.
Yeah, you boys.
Say goodnight, honey.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.